Chapter 10, Satan's Consummate Deception. Despite undeniable parallels between worldwide political and religious trends and the prophecies in the Great Controversy, numerous, even difficult, questions remain. One of the hardest deals with the Sabbath itself. Ellen White wrote that, quote, the Sabbath will be the great test of loyalty, and that, quote, while observance of the false Sabbath and compliance with the law of the state, contrary to the fourth commandment, will be an avowal of allegiance to a power that is in opposition to God, the keeping of the truth Sabbath in obedience to God's law is an evidence of loyalty to the Creator. Of course, it's one thing to envision this scenario in the United States or other Western nations, but what about Muslim, Hindu, and Buddhist countries, where Sunday is about as holy as the Aztec god Quetzalcoatl is to High Church Anglicans in Canterbury? How will flag-burning fanatics in Iran, who march their children across minefields for the glory of Allah, or the Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem who stone cars that drive through their districts on the Shabbat, or billions of other non-Christians ever be persuaded to keep Sunday holy? We don't know. Though the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy teach that these issues will be worldwide and that each individual will understand the issues clearly enough to make a rational choice between allegiance to God's law and allegiance to man, not one is made to suffer the wrath of God, she wrote, until the truth has been brought home to his mind and conscience and has been rejected. The question is, how will all nations be caught up in final events that have been revealed, that have not been yet revealed? The following is one possible scenario. In the last days of Jesus' earthly ministry, he warned about false Christs, that if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Matthew 24:23-24. Ellen White, in Great Controversy, describes how Satan will appear as the consummate false Christ. As the crowning act in the great drama of deception, she wrote, Satan himself will personate Christ. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in Revelation. Revelation 1:13-15. The glory that surrounds him is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eyes have yet beheld. Though this deception could dupe Christians, what about Muslims in the Sahara, Jews in the Galilee, or Buddhists in the Himalayas? How could Satan's crowning act affect them? A possible answer lies in the eschatology of the other faiths. Christians are not the only ones expecting a savior. Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims all anticipate the arrival of a supernatural personage, a future deliverer who will arise after a period of upheaval and bring peace and happiness in the world. It's this universal hope of a divine deliverer that could open up the rest of the world to Satan's consummate deception. Take the Jews. All the prophets prophesy, said the Talmud, only for messianic times. The great Jewish philosopher Moses ben Maimonides taught that the coming of the Messiah was a basic Jewish belief, and in the 12 of his 13 articles of faith, he stated, quote, I firmly believe in the coming of the Messiah, and although he may tarry, I daily hope for his coming. Despite great confusion about the Messiah's advent, many believe and still do that he will appear during a time of great trouble called the Messianic Woes, when he would rescue his people and usher in a millennium of peace. Even today, a fervent messianism pulses among some Orthodox Jews. Many believe that the Lubavitcher rabbi in Brooklyn, Menachem Schneerson, will reveal himself as Messiah. A few years ago, zealots in Israel tried to blow up the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. Their motive was to enrage the Arabs, who would wage such a vicious jihad against Israel that the Messiah would come and save his people from destruction. The Muslims, meanwhile, not only believe in a divine restorer of the faith, but many associate him with the return Jesus. The Quran makes reference to Christ's second coming, Surah 4:159, known in the Islamic tradition as the Mahdi, the 12th in the line of Imams. The rightly guided one will usher in 1,000 years of peace and justice after ending the reign of Antichrist. According to one Islamic tradition, the Antichrist will devastate the whole world, leaving only Mecca and Medina in security, as these holy cities will be guarded by angelic legions. Christ at last will descend to earth in a great battle and will destroy the man-devil. According to Hindu belief, The god Vishnu incarnates himself whenever evil prevails. The most important incarnation, however, will be in the form of Kalki, who will appear in the clouds with a flaming sword in hand, riding on a white steed. He will destroy all evildoers in an apocalyptic battle that will initiate a 1,000-year reign of peace on earth. According to some Buddhist sects, a long procession of bodhisattvas, as incarnations of Buddha, has appeared on the earth to bestow knowledge upon mankind. In some sects, a future savior, the last Buddha, called Maitreya, son of love, is expected to appear from heaven and bring great spiritual blessing. Though there is little incentive in Buddhism for any would-be messiahs, in Japan in 1910, a journalist appeared on the streets of Tokyo and claimed to be the Messiah Buddha. And ever since Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly," Christians have been anticipating his return. Though the Bible, especially the New Testament, teems with Advent texts, Christians disagree on when he will come, where he will come, how he will come, and what he will do when he comes. This Advent hope, coupled with the confusion over particulars, has nurtured countless false messiahs. In 1534, radical Anabaptist John of Leiden declared himself a messianic king and took over the city of Munster in Westphalia. James Naylor, a 17th-century Quaker leader in England, had a large following who believed he was a messiah. Even Russian messianic movements started under in Russia, messianic movements started under several false messiahs, including the notorious Skopti sect of the 1700s, whose leader demanded that his male followers be castrated. In China, a self-proclaimed messiah, Hong Husi Huan, initiated a rebellion that took 20 million lives between 1850 and 1864. In America, William E. Riker claimed he was the Holy Spirit and in the 1940s founded Holy City, California, his new Jerusalem. The world's great religions have at least two important similarities that could become factors in Satan's grand deception. All expect a divine personage to appear and usher in an era of peace, and all have discord within their own faith about the nature of his appearing. In Great Controversy, Ellen White describes the chaos prior to the Second Coming. She quotes Revelation 12:12, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." She places this verse in the last days. "Fearful are the scenes," she writes, "which call forth this exclamation from the heavenly voice. The wrath of Satan increases as his time grows short, and his work of deceit and destruction will reach its culmination in the time of trouble." Historically, messianic fervor among different faiths climaxed during crisis times because the people saw a divine deliverer as their only hope. Imagine then the messianic expectation of Hindus, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, even Buddhists, as they face, quote, "a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time," Daniel 12:1, especially since most expect the Messiah to come during a time of trouble anyway. Then, in the midst of this great turmoil, Satan will appear in different parts of the earth, she wrote, in unsurpassed glory. He comes, as she said, a majestic being of dazzling brightness to the Islamic world in the way the Mahdi is expected. And Muslims bow down on their prayer carpets before the rightly guided one who will usher in 1,000 years of peace. In glory unsurpassed by anything, quote, "that mortal eyes have yet beheld," he arrives among the Hindus who see him as Kalki, the final climactic incarnation of Vishnu. The Jews rejoice. The long-awaited Moshiach has finally arrived, not as a humble servant, but as a powerful supernatural king who will end the messianic woes. The Buddhists see Maitreya come to bestow blessings upon mankind. And, as Ellen White wrote, Christians at his appearing shout, "Christ has come, Christ has come." And New Agers see him all as of all these divine personages in one. All these groups, confused about the nature of the Advent to begin with, have been duped in the past by charlatans with much less deceptive power than the devil himself. If thousands can today believe that convicted tax cheat Sun Myung Moon is the returned Christ, what will happen when Satan himself in unsurpassed glory makes this claim? Also, if a divine personage, a false Jesus, Kalki, or Maitreya, it doesn't matter which, appeared on the earth, it wouldn't take long for millions and the few last bastions of communism to realize just how unreal socialist realism is. Satan, impersonating Christ, speaks deep truths, heals the sick, and performs other miracles. In the Muslim world, he quotes from the Quran, and before Christians, he, as Ellen White wrote, presents some of the same gracious heavenly truths which the Savior uttered. Then, because the world is suffering in a terrible time of trouble, he tells the non-Christians that to help end the woes, they should all have a common day, Sunday, to worship God. In this, as she wrote, strong, almost overmastering delusion, he makes the same appeal to the Christian world, claiming to have, as she said, to have changed the Sabbath to Sunday. And the billions of the world, desperate for the wars, the earthquakes, the famines, the pestilence, and the violence to end, obey the words of their long-awaited deliverer and pay homage to the false Sabbath, thus receiving the mark of the beast. Speculation? Of course. But can it be coincidence that the world's great religions all expect a divine personage to usher in an era of peace? Will Satan orchestrate his paramount subterfuge by fulfilling mankind's distorted expectations? He certainly seems preparing the world for it now. A few years ago, various New Age groups spent hundreds of thousands of dollars advertising in the world's foremost newspapers that the Messiah of the Jews, the Mahdi of the Muslims, the Christ of the Christians, the Maitreya of the Buddhists, and Krishna of the Hindus were all names for one individual and that he would bring peace to the world. In October 1986, the Pope brought together 150 religious leaders from a dozen faiths, everyone from the Archbishop of Canterbury to the Dalai Lama, to pray for world peace. Yet, peace hasn't come, and won't. And, as the earth descends into a time of trouble such as never was, billions will plead for Maitreya, Kalki, the Messiah, the Mahdi, or Jesus to come. Then, as Satan executes his grandest lie, he just might appear to each religion as the peace bringer for whom they have long been waiting, words of love flowing from his lips, words that delude everyone, or almost everyone. Only those who have been diligent students of the scriptures, wrote Ellen White, and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive.